Friends and money. This shit has hit the fan.
Fourth Estate Radio in 1 minute mark. This is Bruce Birch, and I'm one half of Fourth Estate Radio, and I'd like to welcome you to the Fourth Estate Radio stream. We are now streaming from WhiteRoseSociety.org. That's WhiteRoseSociety.org. If you are on the other stream, on the Primcast stream, that stream will be non-functional after next week's show. So please switch over to the White Rose Society stream by going to FourthEstateRadio.com. That's FourthEstateRadio.com, and you can find the connection information there. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for Fourth Estate Radio. I'm Bruce Birch, and this is Fourth Estate Radio News. Tony Blair is preparing to scrap a 40-year ban on tapping MPs' telephones despite fierce cabinet opposition. He is expected to formally announce to the Commons within weeks that MPs can no longer be sure that the security services and others will not intercept their communications. Until now, successive administrations have pledged that there should be no tapping whatsoever of MPs' phones and that they would be told if it was necessary to breach the ban. But that convention, known as the Wilson Doctrine after Harold Wilson, the Prime Minister who introduced it, is to be abandoned in an expansion of MI5 powers following the London bombings. MPs should be treated in the same way as other citizens, and will be given the same safeguards against wrongful tapping, the Prime Minister will say. The decision provoked a furious row in the Cabinet just before Christmas when the Secretary of State for Defense, John Reid, voiced his opposition. Pakistani officials on Saturday angrily condemned a purported CIA airstrike meant to target al-Qaeda's number two man, saying he wasn't there and innocent civilians were among the at least 17 men, women, and children killed in a village near the Afghan border. Thousands of tribesmen staged protests and a mob set fire to the office of a U.S.-backed aid agency as Pakistan's people and government showed increasing frustration over a recent series of suspected U.S. attacks along the frontier that appear aimed at Islamic militants. Survivors in Damodola denied militants were in their hamlet, but there are news reports quoting unidentified Pakistani officials as saying up to 11 extremists were believed among the dead. The U.S. government, for the first time, is urging doctors not to prescribe two antiviral drugs commonly used to fight influenza after discovering that the predominant strain of the virus has built up high levels of resistance to them at alarming speed. A whopping 91% of virus samples tested by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention this flu season proved resistant to ramantadine and amantadine, a huge increase since last year when only 11% were. The discovery adds to worries about how to fight bird flu should it start spreading among people. Health officials had hoped to conserve use of the two newer antiviral drugs, Tamiflu and Relenza, because they show activity against bird flu, unlike the older drugs. Now, because of the resistance issue, the newer drugs are being recommended for ordinary flu, increasing the chances that resistance will develop more rapidly to them, too, as they become more commonly used. The newer drugs work against type A and type B influenza strains. The older ones work only against type A, but cost less and are available in generic form. This has been Bruce Birch, and this is Fourth Estate Radio News.
It's a Cup of Joe report. I'm Joe Vecchio. A dramatic moment occurred during Judge Alito's confirmation hearings yesterday when the nominee's wife, the mysterious figure known only as Mrs. Alito, ran from the hearing in tears, presumably because of the tough questions being asked of her husband. It was an obvious piece of political theater orchestrated by the Republican propagandists at Fox and elsewhere, who are so anxious to prove that all Democrats are vicious thugs and Republicans are high-minded civil servants being victimized. You wonder at what point will the millions of Americans who only marginally pay attention to what's going on begin to see how phony this all is. You'd at least think that the highly organized, well-paid right-wing hate machine could hire a better acting coach. No wonder they have to rig elections. And meanwhile, the so-called professional media is, as always, playing this off as just another fight between Democrats and Republicans, and that it doesn't really matter one way or another whether or not Judge Alito gets confirmed. I wonder, did Mrs. Alito cry when she saw the images of the dead bodies floating in the waters of New Orleans? Did she cry when she learned of the deaths of the 11 miners in West Virginia? Did she cry at any time during the war in Iraq at either the loss of one of our soldiers or of any of the tens of thousands of innocent Iraqis? Don't make me laugh. Now get back to work.
This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
This is Sansara Taylor. The world can't wait. Drive out the Bush regime. On January 31st, Bush will give his State of the Union address. But we already know that the state of this union is a state of emergency. The Bush regime is out to remake the world. Endless war, an Orwellian police state, religious tyranny, no dissent, no critical thought, no right to abortion, a ruined planet. This regime is immoral. It's unjust, and it's indictably criminal. We must stop it. On Tuesday, January 31st, when Bush gives his State of the Union address, protest across the country demand Bush step down. The next Saturday, February 4th, join us in Washington, D.C. to bring our demand right to the White House. Bush lied. Bush spied. Bush must step down. Find us today, worldcan'twait.org, 866-973-4463.
Fourth Estate Radio.
There's no such thing as a political prisoner. All prisoners are political prisoners. All trials in America are political trials. And when you go into jail, you see that. Because you see that 90% of the people in jail are black. That's what you see. You see that 90% of the people are young.
Welcome to the second edition for 2006 of Fourth Estate Radio.
My name is Bruce Birch, and I'm coming to you from the North American continent, and sitting directly to my left...
Ah, well, about 10,000 miles away and 16 hours into your future there, Brucey. My name is John Fox, coming to you just north of the Sydney Harbor, and I can almost make out the Harbor Bridge
is
through
that,
the pea soup.
Is that a new kind of yogurt? Future?
I don't know. I think I just need a new mouth.
I like it.
Oh, do you?
I'm thinking we could sell Fourth Estate Fruiture.
I just like to sell Fourth Estate anything, but
speaking of which, we have gear. You know, people, if you like our show, you can wear it everywhere you go with you. You can wear Fourth Estate Radio like a loose garment.
Well, you know, we got
if you're interested.
Black T-shirts. We have organic tees that we just actually put up last week.
Organic tees?
Yeah, cotton tees.
You don't eat those?
No. But, you know.
No eating.
You know, no pesticides, none of that kind of garbage, you know. We got boxer shorts. We have mugs, steins, all kinds of stuff. And, of course, a little bit of that goes to help support this show. And we got big news this week. We have new stream servers, don't we?
Indeed we do. Actually, we've been talking with, over the last couple weeks, with Ben Birch of White Rose Society, who archives over 5 million hours of progressive talk radio.
Five million hours? That's a lot of radio.
It's an astounding... You could never listen to all of that, John. It would take you years, and by the time you got done, there'd be another 5 million hours, and then, you know...
Has he had to listen to all that?
I guess, you know, I'm thinking probably not.
I'd hope not.
Because I think it's automated. But point being is that that is the place to go if you want to check out archived radio shows. Mike Malloy's there, Tom Hartman, Peter Werby, Bob Kincaid, especially Bob Kincaid. Bob Kincaid is an amazing guy. But
and he was a guest on our show last week, man.
It was indeed. All Things Reconsidered with Bruce Birch. I don't know who the hell that is. Yeah, but anyway, he's there too. and Fourth Estate Radio is going to be there also, starting with this week's show.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Thank you, Ben Birch. And we are moving our streaming over to that, to White Rose Society. Also, mainly just because we want to go ahead and, you know, it's about one-stop shopping.
Ah, absolutely, so, man. And I reckon being put into that company can only do us some good.
That's right. And besides that, it's better to give a guy who's actually doing good work for progressives, give him our money rather than someone else that we don't even know, you know? So
absolutely. Absolutely.
But, so this show tonight, we got a lot of stuff on tap. We got Sammy the Squint. We're going to talk about the machine gun Sammy guy. You know, we're going to talk about all kinds of neat stuff. What do you have on your plate tonight?
Well, man, I mean, Alito is kind of the big thing because the hearings have been going on, and I mean the absolute theater that these hearings are. You know, I mean,
it is theater.
We'll get into this.
It's amazing to me.
We've had our sob scene, and you know, where his wife went off when they were attacking him so harshly. I'm sorry. You know.
Can you say value?
Can you say opposite world?
Can you say psychotropic medication for the wife?
Okay. If your wife was sitting behind you and you were, you know, up for some, you know, gig, having your, you know, interview, hearings, whatever, and if someone was making accusations about your husband that weren't true, don't you think your reaction would be more anger than whatever?
I think my wife would punch Ted Kennedy in the nose if it were that case. I mean, I know she's Puerto Rican, for Christ's sake. She's going to beat somebody's ass. But
I'm just picturing Rosie Perez standing up and blocking him, you know?
Let me tell you something, Ted Kennedy. I'm going to kick your ass. She would be pissed. Yeah. She would get up and it would be a scene. It would be talked about for months and months. And
yeah.
Months,
hey, essay.
What are you doing, eh, Bato? You know, I do think that the funny part of all of this is that the media has spun it again, as usual, spun it to opposite world, so that instead of telling the truth about what's going on, they're focusing on the little bitty sound bites that they can pull out of it.
They're looking to pull some drama out of it. And what's really tragic about it is if this guy gets, you know, appointed and approved and sent up onto the bench, this is going to basically leave the Democrats without a hope or a prayer. I could definitely see the 22nd Amendment, which is the term limit on the president, being revoked. And I really am fearful. This guy is just playing evasive word games and playing nonsense, and he's not answering any questions that are of importance, but yet he can come up with the most unbelievable detail when he talks about cases that he does want to speak about.
That's because he's memorized them all. I mean, you know, he is actually but the truth is that, you know, he is brilliant. I mean, you know, there's no question in my mind that this guy, Sammy the Squint guy, is absolutely brilliant the problem is that he's using his powers for bad, for evil.
Well, I mean, this is a guy. You look at his decisions. He's had his decisions overturned. Well, not overturned.
Vacated.
Vacated and had all other judges, even in his own court, completely disagree with them. And he's always sided with the corporations or the government when it's come to any kind of issues human rights, our rights to privacy, anything like that. He has been very, very much a one-sided guy, and I think he's very, very smart and will play his cards however he needs to move the way up. And I think he's just another tool of the Bush cabal to ensure the fact that they'll have no challenge to them to either be knocked out of power ahead of time or even when we normally would think we'd just be rid of them anyway.
Yeah, he's the final nail in the coffin of the liberal judiciary.
Now, how much do you think that, you know, this is to fill Sandra Day O'Connor's seat, and we all know that she was the swing vote that gave Bush the appointment to the presidency. How much do you think that the timing of all this was not hers? Her stepping down and bringing Alito in.
I'm thinking that she probably wants to have a life besides having to be a Supreme Court justice until, like Rehnquist, it was his only, that was all he had left. And then here he goes. He just sort of dies off, like hobbling his ass up into the, to swear Bush in with that little shitty.
But see here, man, I have to step back in the memory banks to 2000. You know, she was quoted as saying, when it was coming down to, Bush v. Gore, she says, "I can't wait another 4 years to retire." She was quoted as saying that before she made her decision. And I just think she's getting out while she can. Or is being pushed out for the opportunity to stick this guy in that will end up being able to keep the cabal in power, regardless of the law, because they disregard it anyway.
That may very well be true, John. I don't know. I have not read anything really to that effect, and I'm sure that, I'm sure that somewhere out there's somebody that's heard it and like you, perhaps has documented it.
I do believe all I'd have to do is search her name on the 12th Harmonic blog, and I can find the story. Because I do believe we covered this about a year ago. Because right after the last election, there was a bill put in to repeal the 22nd Amendment as soon as Bush got in, as soon as he had been sworn in for his second term. And you can actually find that. Just search term limit on 12th Harmonic blog, and you'll come up with it. You'll see a picture of Bush and Cheney as Beavis and Butthead.
Well, maybe what we can do, John, is you get that link.
We'll have it on the blog.
And get that. You have it up on there as a bonus bounce or something like that. But real, I think that the toughest part of all of this is not whether or not this guy belongs on the bench, because he clearly does not belong
Absolutely.
On the bench. This guy does not belong. But if not him, who?
Well, see, this is the thing, Bush chose this guy, so I mean, he's not fit to begin with, as far as I'm concerned. So I don't know. Let's pick this up when we come back on the other side of the break, because this is all really, really heavy. And I mean, this is our representative democracy on the line with this guy. This is the last line of defense. So we'll be back to talk about this a little bit more in a second. This is John and Bruce, almost 18 past the hour on Fourth Estate Radio.
He's back. Yes, I am.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember it. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no oxycontin. Just a nightly confrontation with the facts, the issues of the day. Head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday nights, 7 to 10.
Head on.
A Buzz Flash radio moment. Some of us disagree with the president. We think the Iraq War is a mess. We think vote suppression is a crime. We think tax cuts for the rich are a bad idea. We think business doesn't know best. And we think dissent is an American value. This country was born because people questioned authority. It's as American as apple pie.
For more information, visit BuzzFlash.com.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. They say it's from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote. And then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found a small patch of plastic on my right shoulder.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Place your hand on your heart. Measure the beats. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's how long it takes to protect your child's life. 5 heartbeats. That's how long it takes to learn about the dangers of pesticides that could be found in your child's classroom. Asthma, lower IQ scores, and cancer have all been linked to prolonged exposure to these toxins. But if you knew there were toxin-free alternatives to pesticides, if you knew you had a voice regarding their use, if you knew you could take action that would make your child's classroom safe today, wouldn't you do something? In a heartbeat. Log on to earthshare.org today and find out how you can help. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
All right, this is Bruce Birch with Fourth Estate Radio, and that was my good friend, Mr. Frank Zappa. We're not really good friends, but hey, I would have loved to have been a good friend of his. And it's 21 minutes past the hour, and we're still in our top story segment, and we went out to the break talking about Sammy the Squint, and I just got to tell you. You know, based on everything that I've been watching and reading about this guy, the reality is that all the stories we're going to be talking about tonight, every single one of them that I've been able to review thus far, is going to be impacted by this guy in some shape, form, or fashion.
Oh man!
And I think that we've got to really think about that.
All you have to do is look through all the questions that he's been playing evasive tactics on, and those are all the issues that he is going to end up playing a key role. We're talking Roe v. Wade, we're talking people's rights against abuses of corporations, executive powers, and it's all the stuff that he's being vague about that is going to become, I mean, they're all current issues, and it's just, it's such a song and dance.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is. But I just, anyway, Before we get too far gone on Mr. Sammy the Squint, I do want to talk a little bit about Mr. Bunny Pants George Raisin Brain Bush. Apparently, he went down to the Gulf Coast this week, and okay, this is the headline. Now here's how the mainstream media screws your perception. Okay, the headline reads, okay, this is a CNN, right? And the link is on our website if you want to follow along. You can even read it with me. Bush sees dramatic change on Gulf Coast. Okay, that's the headline. What was dramatic about the change? All right, let's go down a little bit down to the story. All right, and here's what it says. Bush's route to the college town took him down a coastal road past thousands of snapped trees, debris still hanging from limbs, and lots emptied of their buildings. There were almost no intact structures. In most cases, only concrete foundations were left and little evidence of rebuilding. There's no homes to repair, Bush said. It's just been flattened. That's what the people of America have got to understand. Okay, let's go back to the headline. The headline says, Bush sees dramatic change on Gulf Coast.
Is this headline up there just for people who don't actually read the article? I mean, it's an opposite world headline as far as, you know, it has no connection to the content.
It is completely opposite to what the story is about. Completely opposite. There's no dramatic change because nothing has happened down there.
The dramatic change when Katrina kicked in and ripped it all down.
Yep. But the dramatic change is that the people of New Orleans are wanting to know, you know, when they're going to be able to have their town back. And you know what? They're not going to be able to have their town back because they're not going to build it back for those people.
Everything that New Orleans was is gone. And these people have no interest at all in rebuilding it to what it was.
The only good thing that came out of this trip was that some protesters apparently were down there and heckled the president.
Good.
You go.
Good on him. Need more of that.
I bet it was Malik. I think his name is Malik Rahim, who is he runs a community center down there.
Yeah.
Former Black Panther Party member.
Right.
And he has been instrumental in banding the citizens together in trying to rebuild some of the areas of the Ninth Ward. So there is a progressive movement down there that is actually working to try to make some changes, but you don't hear about that in the mainstream media.
No, not at all. And you know, I mean, we've heard now the second time, you know, people who were displaced were going to get booted out of their hotel rooms again this past week, I believe, and you know, it's a parallel to Iraq as far as I'm concerned, you know. Let the destruction happen and no interest in actually rebuilding it. And, you know, they're going to make tons of money off the chaos. And I just, it makes me ill because it was probably one of America's most, like, unique places. Unlike any other place, man, because I've spent time, I've spent a bit of time there. And, you know, like, I just want to cry when I think about the fact that, you know, it's gone. You know, like, the Acme Fish Market is gone. It's all gone, and the people, and what makes a community is not the things in it, but the people that make it up, and they've all been displaced.
Yeah, well, this just as a final thing, as we're going out, the real reason was he went to a fundraiser in Florida before he went back to Washington.
That figures. Hey, man, we got to get out of here. It's coming up on 28 past the hour. This is Fourth Estate Radio.
Time.
if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll supposedly they say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have.
Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
A Buzzflash Radio Moment. During times of war, people like to feel that God is on their side. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I have to ask, which God is that? Which God supports war? If you're a Christian and you support a war, that's your choice, as it should be. You're endowed with a free will. But leave Christ out of it, all right? He never supported a war.
For more information, visit BuzzFlash.com.
Watched her mouth, the water through the glass, as the rain it flooded the underparts, and the light from the restaurant hit her face in a way made me wish that she would stay. And her makeup ran in a little black river over poison, years and loves. With it, I'm a simple man, but I know this much: joy in a woman is as good as her touch. Joy in a woman is as good as her touch. I'm a bolted man, lighting on a stolen father. Heaven is the guilt and the loneliness I withhold. No good woman can't change all in this heart, blah blah. Hello, high water, it's a pretty good start. Hello, high water, it's a pretty good start to my rain. Rain won't wash this away, cause the sky won't rise when you cut in the eye. Came down this road with no go. But rain won't wash this away. No,
All right. You're back with Fourth Estate Radio. My name is Bruce Birch, and over to my left, sitting very placidly, is my friend John Fox.
Man, I'm over here in Sydney, and we kind of got railed by the end of the last segment, man. You were going to actually get to the point of the whole thing.
Well, yes, I was. The toughest part of it, or I should say the real story, the backstory, if you will, of this entire article that was full of misnomers and half-truths, is that before returning to Washington on Thursday night, Bush planned to attend, and he did attend, a $4 million fundraiser at the sprawling oceanfront estate of Dwight Schar in Palm Beach County. Schar is the CEO of NVR Homes, a major home builder and mortgage banking company, and co-owner of the Washington Redskins football team. He raised more than $200,000 for Bush's re-election campaign. Now, you know, for those of you who aren't connecting the dots, Bush goes to a place where there is massive natural disaster. Houses completely destroyed, thousands of houses, if not tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of houses gone, completely wiped off the map. He leaves that, surveying all that damage. He leaves that area and goes where? To visit a guy who's the CEO of a company that's a major home builder and mortgage banking company.
I keep thinking of someone writing a BBC farce about American politics. Right? This is to me is how, like, if you wanted to write it, you could say, okay, you know, the whole thing of, you know, the trip having, you know, one thing shot by the media, meanwhile he's doing this, and it's all self-serving, and, you know, again, here's another one, his bloody friggin' pioneers, or whatever they are, you know, these people that buy their access, and I just, it's an astounding farce to me. You couldn't write it.
It is completely, and, you know, and what's really the tragic part of this is that most New Orleans neighborhoods are still abandoned wastelands, no inhabitable homes, no working streetlights, sidewalks piled with moldy garbage, the levee system is still as vulnerable as ever.
Bodies still being found?
Yeah, they're still finding bodies, and this guy, 3 months ago, and I'm pounding my desk as I'm talking, 3 months ago that bastard went down there to New Orleans, stood in Jackson Square, lit up the night, and told people that it was going to be a change, and that he was going to, you know, bring the full weight of the federal government down to bear to fix all this. And what have they done? Not one goddamn thing.
All he did was bring the full weight of the federal cabal down on controlling the message and covering up the ineptitude. I, you know, the whole thing, their whole mode is just, it's criminal. Everything is criminal.
It is. It's absolutely criminal, you know, and I certainly hope, you know, well, now let's get into just
what I forgot. Like, you know, I mean, how many hundred children are still unaccounted for as of just a couple of weeks ago?
1,300. 1,300. Yes. And there's still over 1,000 missing persons.
That's disgusting. Every American should be just absolutely revolted by the fact that this can happen in the United States of America in the modern world. I mean,
but they're too busy watching Desperate Housewives, man.
Man, I'm telling you.
How can they be outraged if they're watching Desperate Housewives, or how can they be outraged when there's a brand new runway or whatever the hell that show
there
is?
There was an episode of Futurama on the other night where, you know, they knock out the Fox satellite, and the satellite op says, you thinking anyone will give a damn? You know? But unfortunately, the opposite is true, man. Because if, you know, these people are all just watching absolute crap. And
it is. You know, and you know, that's what's... But the one thing that there is a gem, but I don't want to get off into the TV land thing because I really don't watch it. I try to avoid it at all costs. I mean, every now and then I will, and I have it on my computer so that I can actually capture the good stuff when I want to.
Yeah.
But, you know, the good audio. But, you know, I just want to, you know, before we get off of the story, the one thing that I want people to, I want to leave with people before we move on is that there is such a thing as legally right and morally wrong. And what we've seen with Katrina is exactly that, is that they have done everything according to the law, but at the same moment, they've abandoned all these people and they've hung them out to dry, scattered them across the United States, you know, and now they're saying, well, we're not going to give you any more money either. It's like, you know, it's the typical Republican response to everything.
Oh, absolutely.
It's, you know, let's hope that they might starve themselves or shoot themselves like that couple did in Houston last or 2 weeks ago.
But,
you know, so there's the Katrina story for the night. Now I want to move on because I want to get one more in before we get to the break. And remember I said earlier that every one of these stories that we do can be impacted by Scalito. Scalito the squint. United Farm Workers has left the AFL-CIO, okay? And apparently this was from January 12th. And what they've decided to do is to join the group of breakaway unions known as the Change to Win Coalition. Now, why this has implications is that the UFW is a pretty big union.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm still not sure what to make of this whole split thing that's been going on yet, because I'm not exactly sure, you know, something wasn't working because union membership has just, you know, fallen way off since, you know, the 70s and 80s, and, you know, we know that Reagan was partially responsible for all that, but I'm not sure, you know, whether the AFL-CIO is getting weakened and kind of screwed over, or whether this new growing group is going to be a replacement for what used to be a very, very strong labor movement in this country.
Well, you know, based on what they said earlier this year, and this was, or I'm sorry, gosh, it's 2006, earlier last year in July in Chicago, they had, you know, the AFL-CIO convention, and what happened was that, you know, so many dissident members of the AFL-CIO basically said, you know, we're tired of the fact that we're not growing. And we have all these new members. We have people who are working hard, but then the AFL-CIO itself, apparently the structure, the organizational structure, just was too much of a bureaucracy for everyone to deal with. So they said, we're going to split off and we're going to create something else that's going to be different. It's going to be going to work better. And to quote UFW spokesman, he says, we view this as a positive step in fulfilling our twin commitments of focusing more resources on organizing and finding new ways to pursue employers that fiercely resist the right of workers to organize. No employers more fiercely resist the right to organize than agriculture.
He is
absolutely
right. And they're also the biggest users of illegal immigrant labor as well.
Well, you know, that does not legal status does not preclude someone from being in the UFW, by the way. Because that was actually, you know, there was a huge lettuce strike, and I'm thinking this was like back in the 70s. But the majority of the farm workers were immigrants and were illegal immigrants. So I don't think that precludes them from being members of the
It's a human right, not an American citizen right. So I think is the view that they take. Yeah,
absolutely.
They are.
They're right.
They're absolutely right.
Now, you know what? Let's not use that anymore. Let's say they're correct. Because we know what the right is. It's a bunch of criminals. Anyway, the breakaway movement started last summer with the departure of the Teamsters and the Service Employees International Union, the SEIU. The departure of half a dozen unions has left the Labor Federation with more than 50 unions representing almost 9 million workers. So they're a fairly small breakaway, but they're building.
I think it's very important that, you know, even while the unions might not have the power now, that people support their unions and join their unions, because it's only with by getting numbers will they ever regain that ability to look out for the worker like they once did.
That's right. Coming up here in a few minutes, we're going to have our Occupation Watch report, but we wanted to bring you those stories because, you know, the bottom line is that with this guy Alito going into, you know, it looks like the Democrats are not going to filibuster him, and going into his appointment, he's going to be facing all of these issues. He's going to be facing, you know, what's happening down on the Gulf Coast because there's lawsuits being filed as we speak. He's going to be facing labor issues. He's going to be facing all of these things, and how is he going to react to them? Well, if you look at his past record, he's going to react to them with the iron fist
well, yeah,
of government.
And he... The guy, we can go by his past record. It plays out clear. He will always side with big government, and he will always side with the corporations. The people with this guy will be screwed. So we're going to wrap this up, come back with the Occupation Watch in just a couple of minutes after a few messages. We're blogging at fourthestateradio.com, chatting at the Tom Hartman chat room. That's tomhartman.com, however you want to spell it. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. This is John, the other guy's Bruce, and we'll be back with you on Fourth Estate Radio.
This is Mark Crispin Miller. The world can't wait to drive out the Bush regime. On January 31st, Bush will give his State of the Union address, but we can say right now that the Union is in a state of emergency. The Bush regime is out to remake the world. An Orwellian police state, endless war, religious tyranny, no dissent, no free thought, a ruined planet. This regime is immoral, unjust, unelected, and indictably criminal. And we must stop it. On Tuesday, January 31st, during Bush's State of the Union address, we will mount protests all across the country. We will demand that Bush step down. Then, on Saturday, February 4th, join us in Washington, D.C., and we will bring our demand right to the White House. Bush lied. Bush spied. Bush must step down. Find us today, worldcantwait.org. 866-973-4463.
Everybody, welcome back to Fourth Estate Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes before the hour, and this is our Occupation Watch, and Bruce has a couple stories for us.
I do indeed. The first thing I want to do, though, before we get too far into this, is I want to give you the rundown on the human cost of the American military occupation in Iraq. And so far, 2,212 Americans have died since the war began, and since the mission accomplished speech, that would be 2,075. And on the Iraqi side, we're looking at a minimum of 27,814, and a possible maximum of around 100,000 Iraqis. So, you know, we're still looking at that huge number there. I wanted the two stories that I have for you tonight on this are related. Okay.
Okay.
The first story is about the abuse of a detainee in Iraq. Okay, and the fact that the army closed a criminal investigation of abuse allegations by an Iraqi detainee, finding no reason to believe his claims, even though no Americans involved in the case were even questioned. Internal Army documents about the Iraqi's capture on January 4, 2004, and his subsequent interrogation at an unspecified facility near Baghdad were not reviewed because investigators were told they had been lost in a computer malfunction. I wonder if somebody shot the laptop.
Please.
That's what I'm thinking.
Please.
Again...
You know, it's the no accountability. How can you say you've had an investigation if you haven't talked to everyone involved, especially when, you know, sorry, just stop me before I do something I shouldn't.
Right. Well, he contends, he alleges, of course, that he was kicked in the stomach once and punched in the spine once by his interrogators. He said he was placed in front of a window air conditioner after being stripped naked and having a bag placed over his head. Cold water was poured over the bag every few minutes, he said, and he was dragged around the room by his arm. If you watch these generals when they talk about this stuff, man, they are totally, I mean, they're just like, they dare you to ask them any more questions. They dare you. I have another story, John, that is directly related to this one, and when I say directly related, it encompasses the same kind of stuff, which is denial at all levels of government. Okay,
right.
The former commander of the Guantanamo Bay Detention Center, who has been tied to the prisoner abuse scandal, is declining to answer questions in two courts-martial cases involving the use of dogs during interrogations.
I heard about this.
Major General Joffrey D. Miller invoked the military's version of the Fifth Amendment right to not incriminate himself, a move that was defended Thursday by the military's top commander.
I can't.
So now we have... Okay, so now... Dig this shit. Dig this, John. The leader of the armed forces, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is now advocating that this guy invoked the Fifth Amendment right to not incriminate himself. Let's not get to the truth. Let's not swiftly deal with criminal acts by our military leaders. Let's let them lie their way out of it.
Someone from the legitimate press actually asked them a question about the fact that they don't have their gear or anything and whatnot, but when they can use it to protect themselves, they'll turn around and tell them that they have I mean, you know, our image is so screwed all over this planet. You know, and
yeah,
how is this serving to help anything?
I think what is doubly amazing to me, you know, they talk about, well, they're murderers. They didn't give the people that they killed rights. Well, look at these guys. Are they given, you know, here they, this guy has a right to not incriminate himself. Do those folks down in Guantanamo Bay have that same right? Hell no. They don't have those same rights.
How can you call yourself morally superior when you're stepping straight down to the level, to this level? I mean, how can you say that you are the moral barometer when you're doing this kind of stuff?
Well, you know something? They're not. All right? And you know it, and I know it. And the American people are beginning to see that as well. That these guys are not the moral barometer of anything. If anything, these guys, you know, he's up on trial for war crimes. Good on him. I hope they convict him. I hope they send him back to Guantanamo as a prisoner.
I
that would be justice.
yeah, it would be. Hey, come here, man. We got a little crate for you to stand on. Here's a little hat. Oh, and here's the electrodes.
Yeah, here's, hang on.
Just
hang on. We got some alligator clips over here. All right, let's hit him with about 220 volts. Bam. How's that feel?
The international community,
but
the
that's advocating. That's
a, is that, is not buying this. This much I can tell you. Okay, even though our media is not the best over here these days, I can tell you that the international community is going, this is going way wrong. This has gone way wrong, and they're still playing this bit. I mean, I'm sorry, federal government in America has become nothing but theater.
Well, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, John, I don't advocate violence against these guys, and you know what, I don't advocate violence against the people who perpetrate the violence on others. What I think is that justice needs to be served. You know, we have a run amok system going on right now, and the only way that's going to get reined back in is if the people, the leaders of all this, you know, get brought up on charges, and we restore integrity where there is none.
It's a vacuum.
So there's our occupation watch. And we're going to be right back. This is Bruce Birch with John Fox, and you're listening to Fourth Estate Radio. I love it when my president tells me to put food on my family. I just, you know, when he tells me to do that, I immediately, you know, we start having a food fight. So,
do you really?
It's great,
you and your
man.
Kids start throwing, like, Twinkies and stuff at each other?
No, more like, you know, mashed potatoes and stuff.
Oh,
really.
Right,
stuff
right,
sticks,
full on.
Sticks
oh, right
to the
on.
Wall, you know. But anyway, you know, and that should be a top story all by itself. You know, how did we elect such a moron?
We try to answer that and many more questions this week and last week on Fourth Estate Radio. I'm John Fox, one of your co-hosts. Bruce Birch will join me on Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, every week to try and strip the pants off the mainstream media. That's FourthEstateRadio.com.
Was good. Once. Planet check.
With gas prices skyrocketing at the pump, there is a cheap renewable alternative fuel.
Rudolph Diesel actually designed the diesel engine to run on vegetable oil over 100 years ago.
A diesel engine that runs on used vegetable oil?
We get the used vegetable oil from fast food restaurants.
It's called biodiesel.
I got a biodiesel.
Joshua Tickle, author of From the Fryer to the Fuel Tank, explains.
Biodiesel is a clean-burning diesel fuel that's actually made from vegetable oil. It's usable in any diesel engine. You don't have to modify the engine. You just pour biodiesel right into it.
Pour some veggie fuel into that tank.
The environmental benefits of biodiesel are that it's cleaner, it's healthy for humans, plants, and animals.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
I'm Bruce Birch, and this is 4th Estate Radio News. Tony Blair is preparing to scrap a 40-year ban on tapping MPs' telephones despite fierce cabinet opposition. He is expected to formally announce to the Commons within weeks that MPs can no longer be sure that the security services and others will not intercept their communications. Until now, successive administrations have pledged that there should be no tapping whatsoever of MPs' phones and that they would be told if it was necessary to breach the ban. But that convention, known as the Wilson Doctrine after Harold Wilson, the Prime Minister who introduced it, is to be abandoned in an expansion of MI5 powers following the London bombings. MPs should be treated in the same way as other citizens and will be given the same safeguards against wrongful tapping, the Prime Minister will say. The decision provoked a furious row in the Cabinet just before Christmas when the Secretary of State for Defense, John Reed, voiced his opposition. Pakistani officials on Saturday angrily condemned a purported CIA airstrike meant to target Al-Qaeda's number two man, saying he wasn't there and innocent civilians were among the at least 17 men, women, and children killed in a village near the Afghan border. Thousands of tribesmen staged protests and a mob set fire to the office of a U.S.-backed aid agency as Pakistan's people and government showed increasing frustration over a recent series of suspected U.S. attacks along the frontier that appear aimed at Islamic militants. Survivors in Damodola denied militants were in their hamlet, but there are news reports quoting unidentified Pakistani officials as saying up to 11 extremists were believed among the dead. The U.S. government, for the first time, is urging doctors not to prescribe two antiviral drugs commonly used to fight influenza after discovering that the predominant strain of the virus has built up high levels of resistance to them at alarming speed. A whopping 91% of virus samples tested by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention this flu season proved resistant to ranitidine and amantadine, a huge increase since last year when only 11% were. The discovery adds to worries about how to fight bird flu should it start spreading among people. Health officials had hoped to conserve use of the two newer antiviral drugs, Tamiflu and Relenza, because they show activity against bird flu, unlike the older drugs. Now, because of the resistance issue, the newer drugs are being recommended for ordinary flu, increasing the chances that resistance will develop more rapidly to them, too, as they become more commonly used. The newer drugs work against type A and type B influenza strains. The older ones work only against type A, but cost less and are available in generic form. This has been Bruce Birch, and this is 4th Estate Radio News.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. It's been said that Mr. Bush is the first CEO president, and this observer agrees. Like a CEO, Mr. Bush and his administration prefer to operate in secrecy, have little concern for how their company actually works, and even less concern for the welfare of their customers. It's a top-down mindset where loyalty to the executives is more important than loyalty to the company, though as they see it, the executives are the company. That's why you hear all this rhetoric about how anyone who opposes Mr. Bush and his policies opposes America. Of course, being an elected official in a democratic republic is not the same as being a corporate executive. You can't fire a senator or a congressman, and the laws regarding your behavior are a lot stricter than they are in the business world. To the current administration, however, these are just obstacles. Instead of firing an elected official, they find ways to intimidate or marginalize them. If you need to lie, cheat, or even break the law to get something done, you just do it and worry about the consequences later. As anyone who's ever worked in a big company knows, this is standard operating procedure. What's important to understand about everything that's going on is that the current administration is just a front for corporate interests who want to remake the federal government into a tool to serve their own interests rather than the interests of the citizens from whom governmental power theoretically derives. And while they're stealing our government, they're stealing our money as well. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
This is Sansara Taylor with The World Can't Wait, Drive Out the Bush Regime. As the world is threatened with a darkness so great that villages shook, houses collapsed, torture dungeons are built and photos are snapped, where are you? As abortion is criminalized and women are shamed, as gays are demonized and immigrants are blamed, and the president lied and spied, where are you? As science is pulled under and religion is made law, as New Orleans is abandoned and the polar ice caps thaw, where are you? History is turning. We either get Bush's future or a future we fight for and forge ourselves. You are needed now. Tuesday, January 31st, during Bush's State of the Union address, protests across the country, we demand Bush step down. Then Saturday, February 4th, get to Washington, D.C. Bush lied. Bush spied. Bush stepped down. Find us today. WorldCan'tWait.org. 866-973-4463.
Fourth Estate Radio.
Everybody, welcome back to the top of the second hour of Fourth Estate Radio, Volume 2 for 2006. We're blogging at fourthestateradio.com, chatting at a Tom Hartman chat room, and just across the planet from me is my buddy, Bruce Birch.
I'm a bruddy now.
A bruddy.
Is that like a fruiter?
Man, I tell you, there's been so much going on this week, and so much of it just angers me that I swear I'm losing like control over my own speech.
Well, I don't mean to mock you, okay? I'm not. That was not my intention.
I laugh at myself all the time.
But I think we should come up with some Johnisms. Like they have Bushisms, we could have Johnisms and like put them on the website and people could come and see them and laugh and
like top of my tongue from last week. I could think of a few.
Sure,
you should see my face when they come out of my mouth. Like, you know, just as it's gotten past my lips, I'm looking at myself going, what?
Did that come out of my mouth?
And I swear, I feel like that guy from that silly robot movie years ago, where I'm thinking about the fact that I'm supposed to be the expat American in Australia, speaking to a mostly an American audience, and I get confused. I'll try and think about getting an Australianism in there, and all of a sudden I get it all twisted up.
Well, we love you anyway, John, and you know what? Whether you say bruddy or fruiter is absolutely okay with me.
So this is
our We the People segment. This is our We the People segment, and we are making the people laugh. So, but I do want to, you know, we're going to go back to the Alito situation. We're thinking about bringing somebody on tonight, and realized that this was just too important for us to try. I mean, we didn't want to just spend one segment. We wanted to go ahead and put some time and do Sammy the Squint.
Yes.
And you know, the one-handed typist. And
I didn't say he was. And, I just asked if, or well, some other people posed the question, does he look like one?
He does look like one, especially when his ears turn red. That's how you can tell when he's mad, is when his ears
turn
red.
And it's just been really spooky, the whole thing with that camera shot with, you know, his wife over the one shoulder and his wife's handler.
Did you see the suit she had on this week? There was a suit that she had on, I swear to God, looked exactly like a couch I had in a hippie house I lived in once. And I'm like, And I'm thinking, did she steal the upholstery and make this suit out of it? I mean, you know, I was looking at it going, oh my God, it's the same. It was like a yellow checkered kind of,
The whole thing's been such a bit of theater before we even get into all the different things that this guy could just have have impact on.
I know this is not E, so we're not going to do a fashion watch.
Absolutely.
Watch,
however, there was a fashion aspect to it, but this whole time I couldn't understand the idea of why, except for it being a planted situation for some theater, why would you have the appointee's wife in the shot the whole time? Because I would think that would just be absolutely unnerving. And if I were a family member of someone there, I'd want to be off on the side gallery somewhere, not right in camera shot with my handler next to me. You know, and I watched all this communication with her, and I guess someone said it was her son that's was just out of her shot on the other side, and you know, she was very smirky, this, that, and the other thing. And the moment they started to corner him on things that he actually did, groups that he was part of, it was just like, turn on the waterworks, baby, turn on the waterworks.
Well, actually, the funny thing is, and I don't want to like correct you on that, but the funny thing is that what happened when, I mean, all the hammering that happened that Ted Kennedy did, Patrick Leahy did, Dick Durbin did, that freak Biden. I hate that guy. Anyway, he's posturing for president of the, I don't know.
The man of the liquefying spine.
But anyway, oh my gosh, this guy's like he could pour him through a keyhole. Anyway, it's like, you don't like the way he's voting now. No. Well, just wait a minute, he'll change. Yeah, he's a spineless bastard. There's no doubt. Anyway, what I was alluding to is that all these guys were hammering Sammy the Squint. And he was sitting there doing his best to take it. And throughout all that hammering, the woman behind him, his wife in the upholstery suit, didn't say anything and didn't let on any kind of emotion until Jeff Sessions, that biscuit-sucking freak from Alabama, comes up and says,
"Ah, right, that's right.
Are you a bigot?" And he says, and Alito says, "No, sir, I am not a bigot." And Sessions says, "That's right, you're not." And immediately she burst into tears. And I'm thinking, okay, now this is not... Okay, she's gone through 2 days of hearings, okay? And one would think that if she were going to get offended by the questions that he's being hammered with, it would have happened a hell of a lot longer or a hell of a lot sooner than Jeff Sessions, the biscuit-sucking freak from Alabama,
well,
to say anything
to him about
whether he's offended.
Well, did they maybe not stage-manage it quite well enough and they got caught up in the action and missed a cue?
I think it's quite possible, and again, I don't want to go there. I mean, I also think that anyone who is that unstable, perhaps, the thing that troubled me the most is that if it was not planned, I mean,
and
she came
if it
right
was
back
not
into
planned,
the hearing
why
room
did
not
the
10 minutes later,
boat
15 minutes later,
bag of crap that they are, have a news release within minutes about that the Democrats were being mean to her.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. And If you're going to sit there and put yourself in camera shot, which from what I understand, the Republicans basically have the family there queued up every day for the public seats. Like, those should actually be part of the seats that go to the public. Okay, but they put them there. We know
right.
that they had run-throughs where he said, "Oh, well, I've never been through something like this." Well, that's a lie. He went through something like this.
And not only that, but there is, I think Russ Feingold may actually have alluded to the fact that Jeff Sessions sat in on the original what they call murder boards, where it's basically a run through of all the questions. This man, Alito, exceedingly prepared for doggone near anything that came his way.
How they must have worked through all this stuff, you know, because when it came to, you know, like I keep saying, he had it was like two different brains in there. One of them was this. Seriously, one is this one of them is an absolutely
was the raisin
intelligent,
brain.
Probably brilliant attorney, right? And he could recall all this detail, tell you the process that he went through, when it was something that worked to his advantage. But every time the $64,000 question kicked in, or one of them, but the big one being Roe v. Wade, he'd just do a tap dance. And you could see that it was, and you know, he had all these things about precedent and all that, and whether precedent stood. And when they'd get him on even his own statements, he'd say, well, it's out of context. And so it's been a double-ended kind of thing, you know. It's been brilliance by vagueness. And everywhere that he's been vague are the issues that the American people really, really need to have the truth. You know, these are the defining issues.
Well, he is the result of a reactionary religious right that has basically hijacked the Republican Party. Now, you know, he left it very clear that he was not going to close the door
absolutely.
On the possibility of overturning Roe v. Wade. The other thing to keep in mind is that although he may not do that, he also is the same guy who wrote a blueprint, basically, on how to add so many burdens onto the back of Roe v.
And
Wade
this is coming from
that
the guy
it may collapse
who
without
said
ever
that
being
it wasn't
overturned.
Too much of a burden for, you know, for a woman to have to notify her husband of an abortion, even in rape and all incest, rah, 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 rah.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's just wrong, man. And see, this is the whole
exactly.
thing. Our fundamental freedoms and the way that government is supposed to run are like, I mean, we're at that point of no return, people. We need to get... I hope Biden doesn't lose his spine this time. He says he's not going to vote for him, and I hope he sticks to it. So, man, we got to get out of here. We're going to come back and talk about more, maybe Alito and whatever. We're coming up on 17 past the hour, and you're listening to Fourth State Radio.
He pays with his soul for some crime he did not commit. We think we're safe at home with our bumper stickers saying, just say no. We give up a few freedoms here and there in the name of a squeaky clean America.
America.
Now they've got us hypnotized and hysterical. Now they've got us hypnotized and hysterical. Screaming for blood and justice. Now they've got us hypnotized and hysterical. Screaming for blood and justice. They show us the faces of hatred over and over, a new one every week. Could be Manuel Noriega, could be the Ayatollah, any old scapegoat will do. The young man will be our sacrifice.
Head on. He's back.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night, headonradio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember him. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no oxycontin. Just a nightly confrontation with the facts. The issues of the day. Head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head on.
Hello, Mrs. Johnson. Let's see, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hello.
And as you know, he's African-American like you, so you can trust him.
And that's important, because here's the low monthly payment and interest rate you were promised, and here's where it triples. Plus, we buried a balloon payment in there, so you'll need another loan just to pay that off.
Another loan?
But we'll keep giving you loans.
Until we eventually take all the equity you had in your house, leaving you with absolutely nothing.
What? But don't worry. We're going to sell you credit life insurance. You don't really need it, but we sell it at 5 times the cost.
Which puts a ton of cash in our pockets.
Wait, whoa. Don't get up. You look nervous.
Ooh, we better hurry up and get you to sign, or if you don't, I can pretend to ruin your credit with one phone call.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Member of the company family, like your employee ID badge. Your ID badge allows you admittance to secure, high-level areas such as programming or bun preparation. Given only to trusted employees, it ensures no non-employee or riffraff, such as panhandlers or marketing persons, ever set foot onto company property. Your ID badge shows that you actually do have a name and perhaps a face, and you're not just some anonymous cog in the great, empty, hope-sapping, soul-crushing industrial abyss. And what a face! Why, that photo on your ID badge is almost as flattering as the one on your driver's license. Laminated and often hung on a chained noose around the neck, you'll be flashing it for years and years and years and years. Proudly flashing your ID badge.
Woke up this morning, I suddenly realized we're all in this together. I started smiling, 'cause you were smiling, and we're all in this together. I'm made of atoms, you're made of atoms, and we're all in this together.
G'day. Welcome back to Fourth Estate Radio. My name's John Fox. It's about 21 past the hour, and Bruce Birch is up in North Carolina, and what do we got to talk about now there, Bruce?
Well, we're going to step away from Alito, one step away from Alito, because I believe that this particular story will probably play into his hands once he's sitting on the high court and enacting fascism across the land. And that is that the and this is just this is out of the Washington Post. We'll put a link up on the site there. The American Civil Liberties Union raised objections to a little-noticed provision of the latest version of the USA Patriot Act bill, arguing that it would give the Secret Service wider latitude to charge protesters accused of disrupting major events, including political conventions and the Olympics. But Senator Arlen Specter, R-obviously, who sponsored the provisions, and his aides said the concerns are misguided. The changes are meant to clear up legal confusion about the Secret Service's role at major events and to ensure that venues are fully secure before the president or other top officials arrive. He's quoted as saying, "I'm a little surprised at the concern. The venue needs to be subject to their jurisdiction to make sure it's okay." The measure is the latest point of contention in a GOP-approved conference bill that would make permanent most parts of the Patriot Act anti-terrorism law and would renew 2 other provisions for 4 years. A bipartisan group has vowed to fight the proposal, and several lawmakers proposed legislation that would give Congress an additional 3 months to negotiate. And basically, this is the John. This is you know, if you've been listening to Mike Malloy or any of the other radio shows, this is the disruptor law, the disruptor bill, that is basically what it's going to do is it's going to give the Secret Service huge latitude, basically to arrest, harass, or control dissent in the United States of America. This is the brown shirt law, my friend. I don't want to call it disruptor law. This is the brown shirt law.
My blood pressure is just going to be off the scale by the time we get out of here. I mean, it wasn't un-American enough to have free speech zones outside the RNC convention, you know, and the idea that, you know, I mean, the divide between the almighty King George and the government and the people is just continuing to become wider and wider and wider and wider. And, I mean, you know, I've heard that 500 Americans a day have been watched over the last 3 years.
Yeah. Certainly. Certainly. You know, more, and, you know, I mean, it's all coming out. They've been watching peace groups. They've been watching, or they've been surveilling telephone calls. They've been opening mail. They've been doing all of this. Yeah, the Quakers, you know, the ones that make oatmeal. That's a different group.
Malloy was going off about this, and I can't remember if it was like the first head of the NSA, you know, but it was a former head of the NSA, had written, you know, something I think might have been out of his diaries, saying that the NSA needed to have serious oversight because it was the one arm of the federal government that without oversight the president could easily hijack and use against the American people. And he said, and this is an abyss that we should do everything in our power to avoid. And Malloy was doing something about it, sitting there going, hello, abyss, how you doing, abyss? And I was like, whoa. Yeah. You know, and seriously, this is fundamental. And if you are going to now throw a guy like, I hate to go back to him, but bloody Sammy Bad Breath, if you're going to stick a guy like him on the Supreme Court now, a guy who's always sided with big government and government powers of intrusion into people's privacy and rights and everything else, you know that it's all over. And you're going to start to not only not see protests and things being covered by the mainstream media, you're going to start seeing them not happen at all.
This nation was founded
on
dissent.
When are they going to change that bit of is it the Declaration of Independence or the Bill of Rights, where they actually say that it's the American people's duty, if the government that you have over exceeds its powers, it is your solemn duty to tear it down and build another one. So, you know.
Well, I'll tell you when they do it. They'll do it when hell freezes over. I mean, you know, they'll slip it into a bill that has to do
this with sounds just like the sedition clauses that are happening with the anti-terror bills here in Australia, man. Again, it's the Axis doing all the same thing, all kind of at the same time with little bits of different names and whatnot. It's all the same kind of neo-corporate fascist kind of thinking, but we're just about out of time. We're going to come back on the other side of the half-hour break. Bruce is over there. I'm John. I'm over here. We're coming up on 28 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to Fourth Estate Radio.
And we're all here because we're not all there yet.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
There must be some kind of way out of here, said the Joker to the sea. Too much confusion, and I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plow and dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it's worth. No reason to get excited. The thief, he kindly spoke. But a joke. But you and I, we've been through all that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now. The hour is getting late.
He's the granola Ayatollah of canola. Charles Ford, founder of Grassoline Solutions, explains.
I just started writing rhymes while I was farming and doing the eco thing, so that's kind of how this all came about.
Ford spits the truth.
Now, Rudolph Diesel was no weasel, this we know to be true. He was an engineer and a humanitarian, too. He made it possible for us to drive on vegetable fuel. Nobody told me that, well, that's what I'm trying to do. It was back around the turn of last century when Dr. Diesel offered up this opportunity. Corn, soy, chicken, fat, some flour, flax, hemp, seed. Farmers could grow their own fuel. Not only their feed, small towns can be self-sufficient about their energy needs without drilling or spilling or paying a fee. It's like that.
Biodiesel reduces cancer-causing emissions by 75%. For more EcoWrap and all the 411 on biodiesel,
Grassoline.com. Check us out.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
What? You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Oh no, why did we have to go? Bush keeps on lying, children keep on dying. Please, please, can't we pack and leave?
leave. Smirk ain't no savior. 43's a failure. Push side, soldiers died. The heart of America broke inside. Whoever dreamed it could be so bad. He's the worst president we ever had. Get out of Iraq. Get out of Iraq.
And welcome back, everybody, to Fourth Estate Radio. I'm John, he's Bruce, and we're coming back into... What are we coming back into, Bruce?
This is our Axis of Iniquity, John. What time is it?
Ah, geez, ah, I almost forgot the mighty timestamp. Oh, it's coming up on 35 past the hour, and I'd like to say hello to our affiliates. And who would they be, Bruce?
Our affiliates are WDCX out of Dade City, Florida. Gosh, we're so glad to be on this station down there. We run there every day, noon to two.
Yep.
Check it out.
And we do some,
also,
we do some other late night slot too as well, in case, you know, you're really, really up with insomnia.
Would that be late night in Australia or late night in the United States?
You know what? We're on like 12 hours apart from the other version, so it kind of like really doesn't matter. We both get one of each.
Okay. Sure. We're also on the last radio station,
yep,
which is in Greenville, North Carolina, and that's streamed over the internet. You can just type in a last radio station in Google.
And the links are on fourthestateradio.com, mate.
Oh, that's right. The links are on fourthestate.com.
Just look for affiliates.
Yes, and we're actually right now sliding. It's almost like a car wreck. We're getting ready to go right into our Axis of Iniquity segment.
Sorry.
Oh, and we're here. Okay. Thank you, John. Who needs sound effect drops when we got,
hey,
John?
Hey, you got a Foley guy right here.
That's right. So, John.
Yes?
I hear that there's some sort of something about a brother of somebody in...
Just, you know, it's not such a serious story this time, but, you know, we like to say that this little Axis of Iniquity thing is how, you know, similar things are happening in, you know, the UK, here in Australia, the United States, but, you know that the Bushites and whatnot have no respect for the environment, and they'll go and talk a great game and blah, 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 and then do nothing and do exactly the opposite. Well, it seems that Prime Minister John Howard's brother, Stan, will be prosecuted for allegedly allowing dozens of endangered trees to be felled at his properties in the New South Wales Southern Highlands. Now,
Does Stan drink? Or does Stan do drugs?
I tell you what,
anything?
follow the link on the blog, and you have a look at the picture of the two brothers together. They look like they're both a little sauced. But Mr. Howard, whose wife Caroline recently bought the two adjoining Bowral properties for a reported $6.2 million, faces jail or a large fine if he's found guilty of knowingly cutting down the trees, a newspaper report said today. Now, here's where I just...
How do you unknowingly cut down a tree.
And we're talking dozens, okay? But here, this is great. He says, Mr. Howard reportedly told the ranger he had nothing to do with the clearing process other than approve the work. And then...
But he didn't know
and
about
and
it,
then,
right?
And he says...
This is... You know what? Maybe... We need to get him together to go to Bush's ranch, and they could, like... clear brush
okay,
together
but,
and stuff.
But then I don't want to take too much time on this stupidity, but it says, the newspaper report said Mr. Howard approved the trees being cut down because the caretaker, Rowan Corby, was worried they posed a risk to his children. So when I posted this story on our blog, I asked, were they in danger of too much shade? Do your children breathe carbon? Exactly what
These those trees... Are these those trees like out of a Wizard of Oz that come alive and start capturing little children and whatever?
I found this one hysterical, you know. And do you think that this guy is going to actually do the prison time or end up paying the fine? I doubt it. I'll keep you posted if we ever hear about the end result.
No, of course not, because he didn't knowingly cut the trees down. I mean, he was sleepwalking.
And so it says,
it happened in his sleep.
Here's actually what he could face. If found guilty of causing damage to an ecological community, Mr. Howard faces a maximum penalty of 1 year in prison or a $110,000 fine under the National Parks and Wildlife Act. So, I mean, the penalties are real because, you know, they have had some politicians in the past that actually gave a damn about the environment and their own... They knew that there, you know, a lot of local... a lot of local fauna and species and, you know, animals were seriously under attack because of things that, you know, the Europeans imported. I mean, we've got foxes here, and they don't belong, and they're causing massive problems out in the outback, and it was just because the English brought them here because they want to be able to hunt.
Well, and you know, one can't help but wonder if the law will probably be changed.
Control right. of both houses at the moment, you know, they can very well push some stuff through. And you know, we're starting to see the signs of the abuses of the people in power as we speak. And I actually think Kim Beazley, the leader of the opposition here, I'm sorry, as far as I'm concerned, he is now on my list as a thug. Because I think he's done nothing as being opposition party, and every time he speaks a good game, he's just like Biden. He loses his spine into a liquid of pus. And it's really sad, because he was a really great, good labor man at one time. And I've mentioned before, I've seen the man speak, and he can be absolutely exhilarating to see speak. And... you know, this is his fourth time with the leadership. He's never actually gotten himself into power. But something's got to happen over here, because I actually think that the opposition has been completely had their testicles removed. Yeah. So what do you have?
Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Well, I've got a couple of things. The first thing that I have is that we might have to add a quad to our three-member axis of iniquity.
Who's put in an application?
We could call it the Quaxis of iniquity. The application is none other than our neighbor to the north, Great White North Canada. Apparently, Liberal Prime Minister Paul Martin has warned Canadians that his main rival, conservative leader, I can't even say the word, it's just a nasty word, conservative leader Stephen Harper would turn the country into a bastion for a U.S.-style extreme right. Martin said in a television appearance, "I really do believe that Canadians don't want to buy the far conservative right in the United States. They don't want to see it imported here, and they do understand that a sharing, working together has been the way we've built this country." Harper dismissed Martin's criticism as not believable, especially after the Liberals released a series of negative ads that seek to portray him as a frightening extremist.
Well, I mean,
maybe
we should have done that. What are the guys in South Park going to do? You know, with all that, you know, invade Canada material. If they go all right wing, man, that whole storyline's right out the window. We know already it's gonna hurt animation, but
it is. Well, other than that, it's probably not going to hurt anything else. Let's go ahead on to...
I'm going out!
but here is a story that is out of... the, respect my authority! Okay. There's my South Park... That was Cartman. A little bit deeper voice, Cartman. This is the world... This is from the CNN... UK officers' criticism of U.S. Army in Iraq draws heated response. Apparently, Brigadier General Nigel Alwyn Foster wrote a 14-page article that was published in the latest issue of the U.S. military magazine Military Review, and in this article, he said that U.S. officers in Iraq displayed cultural insensitivity bordering on racism toward Iraqis, and seemed weighed down by bureaucracy. Now, the bureaucracy part we can buy, and the racism part we can buy.
I'm trying to figure out what's pissing them off about a personal story that hooks right into this. I was living in Germany for a while, and I may have mentioned this before. And I made quite a decent living as a busker, and it was myself and a Hungarian mate of mine, and I used to be really, really a street urchin, you know, Alabama, what's a busker with guitars, I'm sorry, not Alabama. But, you know, if I didn't say anything, I could blend in. People would just think I was German. And you wouldn't believe the things that I used to hear Americans say when they think that no one can understand them, which is stupid because the average German speaks better English than most Americans do. And there was a couple of times where I'd watch people go up and sit at a cafe. and I go up after the set was over and sit down and ask them which part of California they were from. And you'd see this look of shock, horror, realizing that, you know, I understood every word they said as they, you know, would, you know, I can't even remember what the comments were. It was just, you know, enough to send me into a rage, but I held it back enough to play quiet. And Americans are terrible tourists, so I could consider, you know, in the situation and everything that we've heard going on over there, that I could see there being a good group, not a majority, but a good group of guys over there that probably wouldn't be showing the best face of an American abroad. That's all I can tell you. I've watched it. It's painful to see. And, you know, I just... I wish America could step outside itself and actually, you know, have a look at itself from the outside, and the way that we act sometimes really, really isn't the story that we try to portray to ourselves. But anyway, we're just about out of time here, and we'll be back with me and Bruce to close things up in just a few minutes on Fourth Estate Radio. There's a ball for real Mississippi. Now they don't know where to stop. And they say there's no provisions. It's not enough to go around. But when it comes to the gun, there's a bullet for everyone.
This is Mark Crispin Miller. The world can't wait to drive out the Bush regime. On January 31st, Bush gives his State of the Union address. But we can say right now that this union is in a state of emergency. The Bush regime is not conservative. The Bush regime is not American. The Bush regime is radically opposed to the ideals on which America was founded. Reason, free speech, democracy, and the pursuit of happiness. The Bush regime wants to replace all that with corporate domination and religious tyranny. They want a vast police state where there is no argument, no private pleasure, no free thought, and not a single tree left standing. This regime is immoral, unjust, unelected, and indictably criminal, and we must stop it. Tuesday, January 31st, during Bush's State of the Union address, we will protest all across the country and demand that Bush step down. The next Saturday, February 4th, join us in Washington, D.C., where we'll bring our demands right to the White House. Bush lied, Bush spied, Bush stepped down. Find us today, worldcan'twait.org, 866-973-4463.
Hey, this is Bruce Birch for Fourth Estate Radio, and this is Bruce's Bruisin'. This week's snarky smackdown will be leveled at Sammy the Squint Alito. Alito, who has been nominated for the O'Connor seat on the Supreme Court, has a judicial record that only a mother could love. It seems that Alito, the judge of choice for the Raisin Brain administration, has been on the minority side of most cases on the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. In other words, most of the time the judges on the Third Circuit Court disagreed with him. And, interestingly enough, Michael Chertoff, the crony of Homeland Security, actually was to the left of Alito. Cases in point. In Planned Parenthood versus Casey, Alito held that a wife should, with few exceptions, notify the husband of a planned abortion. In United States versus Rybar, Alito held that the U.S. law banning private citizens from owning submachine guns was outside the authority of Congress under the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution. In Doe versus Goody, Alito argued that qualified immunity should have protected police officers from a finding of having violated constitutional rights when they strip-searched a mother and her 10-year-old daughter while carrying out a search warrant that authorized the search of a residence. The mother and daughter were not referred to in the warrant, although the affidavit requested permission to search all occupants of the residence and their belongings. The majority opinion found that the warrant did not grant such permission, arguing that references to the affidavit and the warrant were specific and the omission of the language in question was not found to be the result of an error, clerical or otherwise. This controversial opinion earned Judge Alito the nickname Strip Search Sammy from his detractors. I could go on, but I think I've made my point. This judge is the darling of the reactionary right, and he was nominated to not be a swing vote. He was nominated to create more polarization on the Supreme Court. So, do the right thing. Call your senators and tell them to vote no on Alito's nomination. At least you will have done your part to keep fascism American style at bay. This has been Bruce Birch for Fourth Estate Radio.
Everybody, welcome back to Fourth Estate Radio. It's about 8 minutes before the top of the hour, and we got to wrap things up. It's been, as usual, you know, got to thank Mr. Tom Hartman for his chat room, and we're blogging at Fourth Estate Radio. And Bruce, what else is going on over there?
Well, I just wanted to, you know, again remind our listeners that we're going to be archived at whiterosesociety.org. And yes, thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Ben.
Yes.
And also, you know, I mean, you know, Ben does all that over there for free, man. So if you are so inclined, you got a few extra bucks, you got a $10 bill, you just got paid, give the man a little bit of a boost. I mean, he's hosting 5 million hours of progressive talk radio over there, including some of the best-known progressive radio hosts on the planet.
And now, you know, and now giving us the bandwidth for this. It's great.
It's complete. No, I'm just lying.
It's never complete. We can never. Hey, looking at the past couple of decades, there can never be enough progressive radio. But
that is absolutely the truth. And I'm certainly, you know, our hope is that by being there, that you know more people can again identify with something. I mean, you know, that's why John and I do this show is to try to bring this point of view to you so that you don't feel so isolated in what you're thinking.
Mm.
The right has done an exceedingly good job, a nefariously good job,
so,
of isolating progressives over the last 20 years.
So, speaking of progressives and progressive radio, what do you have coming up tomorrow on All Things Reconsidered?
It's going to be a free-for-all.
Ah, you've been having a few of those lately. They've been great.
No. Yeah, well, you know, it's just going to be we're going to probably look a little bit more in depth at the Sammy the Squint stuff that we talked about tonight.
Hardly scratched the surface on all that.
Everyone has really done a great job this week of getting that out there, but we're going to probably take a little bit of a look at that, maybe take a phone call or two. And who knows? I mean, there's always a wild card. I may, you know, get a telephone call, something happens and I need to do an interview. I will say this though, there is a possibility of that. There was in North Carolina this week, in Greensboro, the first counter recruitment effort in a local high school happened actually on Thursday, and 250 kids picked up anti-recruitment literature and basically blew off the recruiters.
Right on,
there.
Right on.
So, So it was a pretty amazing event. It was covered by local press and all that good stuff. It's part of a group that I'm also involved with. But so I may get the teenage girl who was spearheading that on the line. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Well, that sounds that'll be another great ATR as usual. Did you have something else for you today?
No, John. Just that I love you, you know, and I'm glad that I'm your brother.
you know, we've been doing this for a while now, and getting comfortable with taking the piss out of each other. that's what they mean by chemistry,
right?
I got it now.
Well, you know, yeah, it's a good thing that we're, you know, this far. Anyway,
what, do you feel safer that you're at arm's reach or something?
Exactly. And I'm thinking, you know, if we were actually in the same studio together, then what would happen is you'd probably throw something at me, like a brick or
I actually had a dream one night that we were actually for some reason doing the show like out of the same place at the same time, and we just were cracking up the whole time because we could like actually see each other, and it just ended up falling into like about 20 minutes of hysterics, and we never got anywhere past there for like 20 minutes, and then I woke up. But
that's what I would call dreaming the impossible dream.
Well, you know what, man? There's the music.
Maybe someday. Maybe someday.
There's the music. It's taking us out. Say good day, Bruce.
I'm gonna, good night. Good day. Have a wonderful week. We will see you next Saturday.
Right on, man. And as I say in Australia, have a good weekend. And we'll be seeing you next week. We're going to have... We got... What?
Don't forget.
Oh,
don't
yeah,
forget
yeah,
Rama
yeah.
tomorrow night. And
okay, you
got to
tune
ATR,
in. And,
so.
And you'll probably do a bit of your DJing and all that kind of fun there. But anyway, this has been fun. Episode version volume 2 for 2006. I'm John. He's Bruce. We'll see you next week. You can leave us your comments at fourthestateradio.com. Contact us by email. All those details are there as well. Streaming and archiving at thewhiterosesociety.org. We'll see you next week. Good night, Bruce.
Good night, John. Ruddy.
Never mind.
The question is already so damn ready that you're willing to defy authority.
Well, goodbye. And don't think it hasn't been a little slice of heaven, because it hasn't.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
Head on.
He's back.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night at HeadOnRadio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember it. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no oxycontin. Just a nightly confrontation with the facts. The issues of the day. Head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head on.
I love it when my president tells me to put food on my family. I just, you know, when he tells me to do that, I immediately, you know, we start having a food fight. So,
do you really? Yeah,
it's great.
Do you and your
man.
Kids start throwing like Twinkies and stuff at each other?
No, more like, you know, mashed potatoes and stuff.
Oh,
and
right,
stuff
right.
Sticks,
full on.
Sticks
oh, right
to the
on.
Wall, you know. But anyway, you know, and that should be a top story all by itself. You know, how did we elect such a moron?
We try to answer that and many more questions this week and last week on Fourth Estate Radio. I'm John Fox, one of your co-hosts. Bruce Birch will join me on Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, every week to try and strip the pants off the mainstream media. That's FourthEstateRadio.com.